End of the second session on the third day, her husband and I were going to help her put on her shoes and socks. And she said, wait a second, let me give it a shot. And so she actually bent down, and for the first time in several years, she put on her own shoes and socks, because now she had enough muscle activation and control in her trunk and hips that she could bend forward and support herself through that greater range of motion. And so, you know, it was even just those little steps were really cool.
I have a master's degree in physiology, biomechanics, and human nutrition. I've spent the past two decades competing in some of the most masochistic events on the planet, from SEALFIT Kokoro, Spartan Agoji, and the world's toughest mudder, to 13 Ironman triathlons, brutal bow hunts, adventure races, spearfishing, plant foraging, freediving, bodybuilding, and beyond. I combine this intense time in the trenches with a blend of ancestral wisdom and modern science, search the globe for the world's top experts in performance, fat loss, recovery, hormones, brain, beauty, and brawn to deliver you this podcast. Everything you need to know to live an adventurous, joyful, and fulfilling life. My name is Ben Greenfield. Enjoy the ride.
Hey folks, it's Ben. Today's episode was a little funky because my guest and I had to fight through an ice storm at my property to be able to record, so I had to like stop the recording multiple times. I really wanted to record this one because it's very, very interesting how to use kind of the biohack of electrical muscle stimulation to amplify your workouts and your recovery. I own this unit that's extremely powerful. I've gotten a lot of people asking me about what I use for electrical muscle stimulation for actual hypertrophy, muscle building, muscle retraining, rehab. So I had to get this guy on the show. But I'll warn you, we got broken up a few times and we had a poor connection, but I'm bringing it to you anyways. And my audio editor, who's a complete ninja, makes it sound pretty good. I guarantee you'll get some interesting stuff out of today's show.
Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? Yeah, check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You can put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Last night, I got my shipment in. That's right. Paleo Valley sent me their fermented meat sticks, which are amazing. They're these beef sticks. I gave a few to some of my friends already, which they love. I actually interviewed Stephen Gundry on my podcast, and he talked about how when you look at a lot of these blue zones, the ones that are the highest ranking in terms of longevity eat meat, but the meat that they eat is actually fermented. And that's exactly what they've done with Paleo Valley. They've actually taken really good grass-fed, grass-finished beef. They've fermented, which naturally introduces gut-friendly probiotics, but more importantly, breaks down a lot of the sugars that would normally cause meat to be harmful, concentrates the vitamins, makes it more digestible, and they have fantastic flavors. They got the original. They've got one that's like a summer sausage. They have a garlic sausage. They have a teriyaki. It's probably my favorite. And you can now get your hands on fermented beef sticks that basically blow that Slim Jim beef jerky out of the water. So check out paleovalley.com/Ben. That's paleovalley.com/Ben to try out these beef sticks and get 15% off your order. Not just beef sticks, fermented beef sticks. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. Just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry. Throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and literally about 45 minutes ago, I finished a workout, and this workout was different. It was what many people might call, you know, almost like a biohacked workout. I used an electrical muscle stimulation device that is very unique, that uses a very unique current, and that can simulate literally hundreds of pounds on your muscle, on any muscle that you want. It can also be used to scan your entire body for injuries, to retrain muscle groups that your brain has kind of lost its ability to recruit. It's a very, very interesting device. And, you know, I've experimented with a ton of electrical muscle stimulation devices, you know, from, gosh, like 2 years into my triathlon career, I bought one. So it's been, I guess, maybe like 13 years that I've had some form of electrical muscle stimulation. And this one is just different. So different that I wanted to get the guy who invented it onto the show to talk about how it works, how you can use electrical muscle stimulation, where it fits in, not just for things like rehab and recovery, which I think a lot of people think that it's for, and not just for sitting on the couch and trying to get a six-pack abs while watching Netflix and eating Cheetos, as I think a lot of advertisements for electrical muscle stimulation for your abs try to make you believe. But instead, really I want to delve into the science behind these EMS devices, how they work, and specifically this device that I've been using. So my guest on today's show is Garrett Salpeter. He has a background in engineering and neuroscience, and has taken a lot of the technology that he learned as an engineer and focused it specifically on physical therapy and something called functional neurology, which we'll get into today. His work has been able to help people do things like get out of wheelchairs and walk again, but he also works with pro athletes. He's helped me go through a few different injuries and not only find where the injuries originated, which in many cases were in a different spot than I thought, but helped me to rehab those injuries using his devices. And for those of you who have seen me on the internet, and I'll put a few videos on the show notes, which you can access over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/neural. That's N-E-U-R-A-L, neural. bengreenfieldfitness.com/neural. Some of you may have seen me like at Paleo FX with a crazy EMS device attached to my leg. Some of you may have seen me twitching my chest and covering my arms with these patches. And I'll put links to a couple of relatively entertaining videos in the show notes if you want to see what this thing looks like. So go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/neural for that. So Garrett, this thing is called a newbie, I believe, and your company is called New Fit. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. What do those acronyms stand for? What does newbie stand for, and what does New Fit stand for?
So newbie is an acronym for neuro bioelectric stimulator And NewFit is the name of our business and a really very meaningful word for me because, one, it describes what we're doing, and two, it speaks to my strong convictions that if we get more neurologically fit as humans, if we upgrade the quality and function of our nervous systems, then that has profoundly positive consequences in many areas of life. It can help us recover faster from injury and surgery. It can help us certainly with our fitness and athletic performance. It can help us cognitively, emotionally, psychologically. It can help us in so many areas. And so with choosing that name, it was my attempt to get to the heart and the core of what we're really doing.
So did you actually personally invent this device?
So I actually did just get my first patent granted on the device, which is cool. Just happened in the last couple months, and we have another one or two coming down the pipeline. So we've made some improvements to it. You know, obviously, there's a rich history of electrical stimulation, and it's not just invented out of thin air. So it truly is a case of standing on the shoulders of giants. And I had been using older electrical stimulation technology, and as I was using that, the methods that we were using evolved over the years as I experimented in the facility, as I learned from other mentors who had a very profound impact on me. And as the methodology evolved, eventually the technology needed to catch up. And so we were able to take some real small but meaningful steps forward in the technology. And when we add those to the other small but meaningful steps forward in the methodology in the various areas that we're working, the combination actually proved to be very valuable. So it's a new take on some things that are out there, but a lot of the concepts, you know, are well established and will be well known to, you know, to people in neuroscience and physical therapy and strength and conditioning.
Yeah, a lot of people are familiar with like the Compex device or the Mark Pro. There's a really powerful one too, that I saw. I think I originally saw it at one of the Bulletproof conferences, the ARP wave device. There's just a ton of different electrical muscle stimulation devices out there. Some specifically focused for rehab, some for kind of a crossover fitness and rehab, some for more fitness. And I know even, I think it was it Keith? Is it Keith Nichols, the professional hockey player? It's not Keith Nichols. I'll remember his name, but there was just an article in the New York Times about this professional hockey player who swears by electrical muscle stimulation as his way to keep muscles primed without actually getting too much hypertrophy, like to be able to maintain strength and power without hypertrophy. So it's kind of a popular thing and has been in the fitness industry for a long time, but I think, I mean, really the elephant in the room here is how is this any different than any other EMS devices, this newbie device that's over in my living room right now and is the reason my legs are still twitching as I'm talking to you?
that's a great question and a great lead in. So the most common question that we hear from people is, oh, it's electrical stimulation. Is that just like my TENS unit that I got at Walgreens or like the interferential unit that my chiropractor or my physical therapist has in their office? Or, oh yeah, I've seen that before. I know what it does. And there's a couple main points that I like to get across to people when we're having these types of conversations.
Okay. And but before you do, by the way, it was that not to totally derail you, that NHL player was, Duncan Keith of the Chicago Blackhawks. And he says during the season, he doesn't do a whole lot of heavy lifting. He just uses this machine that uses electricity to keep your muscles contracted. So that's the dude I was referring to.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I actually know him and have done a little bit of work with him, but not that closely. So yeah, it was a good article. I got to read that actually. I got to read that as well.
Okay, cool. I'll link to it in the show notes. But anyways, I totally derailed you. You were explaining how this thing is different.
So the biggest thing to understand is the differences. And even though there's some similarity because they're both types of electrical stimulation, compared to virtually everything else that's out there, ours does have some unique effects. For example, it's direct current as opposed to alternating current, and virtually all the devices out there are alternating current. And the reason for that is that even though the benefits were known for decades, there was always a problem with getting direct current into the body because it would sting and burn the skin. And so some of the Soviet sports scientists, for example, in the 70s would use direct current machines on their athletes, and they'd walk away with burns, and they could do it for Mother Russia, but we couldn't really do that here in this country. And so a lot of the field of electrical stimulation moved towards alternating current as a matter of convenience and because of the paradigm and the lens through which they were looking. So direct current is a major difference because it has very beneficial properties for promoting healing, regeneration within the body. A very good reference for some of the benefits of direct current is The Body Electric by Dr. Robert Becker. It's a book, get thrown around in some circles, but that's a good one that speaks to some of these underlying capabilities. And then the other effect, or the other difference, really is in the paradigm, the way it's applied, and the effect that it has on the nervous system. So traditionally, electrical stimulation is administered to the body with the intention of making muscles contract, just the same as if you go into the gym and do your reps and you get some benefits from that. And over a long period of time of doing those reps in the gym, you can get the benefits, the long-term benefits of exercise. What we're trying to do, instead of making muscles contract as much, is we're focused more on the sensory or afferent or input side. So you actually, if you took our device and a traditional eSTIM device and you put them on, one on each arm, the traditional Russian stim or interferential device, for example, you turn them up to the same level, say 50 milliamps of current.
And the traditional Russian stim, by the way, just to clarify, because I know people might need to wrap their heads around this a little bit more completely. The original Russian devices were using an AC current or a DC current?
AC current.
Okay, so they're using an AC current, so they could get a really, really powerful contraction, but because the Russians didn't give a shit, it resulted in skin burns. However, if you use DC, you can get a different effect on the body and still deliver a very powerful contraction without the resultant skin burns.
So when we say Russian current here in this country, it's a particular alternating current waveform. The actual Russian sports scientists experimented with multiple different types of AC and DC. Okay. So when I say Russian stim, I'm using the kind of accepted terminology here in our country.
Okay,
so sorry,
thanks.
For that.
No, thanks for clarifying. I was just thinking of a bunch of old school Russians standing around in the snow with electrodes attached to them, giving themselves skin burns.
Oh yeah,
not the stereotype.
So that device on one arm would absolutely cause the body to lock up, and it would be essentially frozen and unable to move. So obviously there's a lot of contraction going on, and at lower levels there's some benefit because you're getting some mechanical pumping of blood and lymph and other fluids. But when you turn it up to a high enough level to really make a difference in the nervous system and how this person is controlling their muscles, you end up having a low ceiling on what you can accomplish, because you're training the body to resist its own movements. You're teaching the body to move like if you were driving your car, hitting the throttle and the brake pedal at the same time. And so at the very least, you're wasting energy overcoming that internal resistance. And even worse, potentially, by causing muscles to shorten and stiffen, setting yourself up for injury, because the shorter and stiffer they are, the less pliable muscles are. We want to be able to bend but not break. And you can be reducing the body's ability to do that. So in contrast to that, on the other arm, our device, even though it's at the same level of current and would feel just as intense because just as much energy is being delivered, you would actually still be able to move through it. And so for that given amount of signal, there's less motor output and there's more sensory input. So we're interacting with the nervous system in a different way. So this speaks more to kinesthetic awareness and proprioception. Okay. And the building blocks of neuromuscular reeducation.
Okay, that makes sense. So the current that you're using on this newbie device is a DC signal that can deliver a very powerful contraction or a less powerful contraction for just doing it for rehab, but without skin burns if you're using a very high intensity. And furthermore, if you're doing, say, like I was doing this morning, and I had electrodes hooked up to my quads, hamstrings, the VMO on the inner part of my leg, and then my butt, my glute max, I turn it all the way up, and even though it's a very intense contraction, I can actually go through a full range of motion squat while having these on, so I can actually move or train my body to accrete certain muscles rather than doing what you might see somebody doing on TV, like, again, laying on the couch with just, you know, electrodes attached to their abs, but they can't actually, you know, do a sit-up or move while those things are contracting.
Right. And the idea, part of the idea here is that instead of the machine just overriding everything and doing it for you and you becoming somewhat dependent on that machine, we're trying to do real neuromuscular reeducation work by increasing the signal, if you will, from that area. We allow the person to be able to activate their muscles more effectively on their own, to get more recruitment, to get better function and coordination. And so we're trying to really come at it from the perspective of instilling new and appropriate movement patterns.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. So when you use a current like this, like this DC current, is there any other benefit that you get from this specific type of current aside from being able to move through a range of motion, use a very high intensity?
Yes, there are. So just to piggyback on that, being able to move through it, that allows us to train the equivalent of high load eccentric contractions. And so if you're talking about trying to help someone heal from an injury, for example, if there's been any damage and the body's attempting to regenerate tissue, if you don't load that tissue, you're going to get scar tissue. It's just going to be kind of thrown down randomly and you're going to have restricted motion in that area. But if you can get high quality, high load, you know, within safe parameters, high load eccentric contractions along the appropriate lines of force, you're going to stimulate the body to lay down higher quality tissue and improve the overall outcome of a healing process. So that's one. Another major difference is actually something that we're seeing and we're doing some more research on now, is the difference in the effect on the autonomic nervous system. So alternating current devices seem to actually promote a sympathetic or fight or flight response and reduce heart rate variability. We had seen anecdotally, you know, several people come into our offices and have wearable devices that track HRV, and we've seen it go up. I've seen myself, like I know you had a great post on social media about your heart rate variability on the Oura Ring, mm-hmm. and you know, it was in the, your max was in the, you know, 150 plus milliseconds, and I thought, oh my gosh, that, you know, the max I had before that was 80 or 90, so I decided to experiment a little bit, and I was doing some work on the newbie before going to sleep, and all of a sudden, for the first time ever, I saw mine up in, you know, average 110, max 150, 160, and I was getting some of those same types of responses.
Your heart rate variability went up when you were using the device?
Yeah, so in that, you know, obviously the Oura Ring is tracking during sleep, so for that, I was doing some protocols right before sleep.
Yeah, because what I would expect would be, and this is what I've seen, a very large drop in heart rate variability during extremely stressful activities, like a back squat or a highly eccentric movement pattern that is difficult, that's tearing the body down, which is exactly what you want. You want a huge drop in HRV during the actual exercise, which would be followed by a subsequent rebound and increase in your long-term HRV over time, which is why things like squats, deadlifts, sprints, etc. are so great for the nervous system, because long-term they raise HRV. And so what you're saying is that you saw via the use of this device, which I suspect, even though I haven't worn an HRV strap while using it yet, I need to do that, would decrease, theoretically, would probably decrease HRV pretty significantly, because it's a super eccentric contraction. I mean, if you jack this thing up, it makes you sore. And you're getting low HRV during, then high HRV after.
Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You gotta check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. usejoymode.com/greenfield. That'll give you 20% off your first order. Last night, I got my shipment in. That's right. Paleo Valley sent me their fermented meat sticks, which are amazing. They're these beef sticks. I gave a few to some of my friends already, which they love. I actually interviewed Stephen Gundry on my podcast, and he talked about how when you look at a lot of these blue zones, the ones that are the highest ranking in terms of longevity eat meat, but the meat that they eat is actually fermented. And that's exactly what they've done with Paleo Valley. They've actually taken really good grass-fed, grass-finished beef. They've fermented, which naturally introduces gut-friendly probiotics, but more importantly, breaks down a lot of the sugars that would normally cause meat to be harmful, concentrates the vitamins, makes it more digestible, and they have fantastic flavors. They got the original. They've got one that's like a summer sausage. They have a garlic sausage. They have a teriyaki. It's probably my favorite. And you can now get your hands on fermented beef sticks that basically blow that Slim Jim beef jerky out of the water. So check out paleovalley.com/Ben. That's paleovalley.com/Ben to try out these beef sticks and get 15% off your order. Not just beef sticks, fermented beef sticks. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use a special form of a workout called a re-hit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just 3 times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office. My cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. carolbike.com.
We're back in action. So Garrett, I know we'd cut off there as we were talking about HRV. What are your thoughts on that, on suppressing HRV during and then seeing a resultant high HRV after?
So what we're really speaking to here is the heart of what we're trying to do with training. What we want to do is impose a stress or a challenge to the body in the hope that it will then recover and supercompensate and adapt afterwards. So I absolutely agree with you that we do want to get the body to have some sympathetic activity, some sort of you know, stress response during the time of training. And then we want to see a shift to more parasympathetic, higher heart rate variability afterwards. So some of the protocols I was doing before bed, for example, were much more mild and gentle, not enough to get me, you know, in that type of stressed out state beforehand, but just enough to enhance HRV during sleep. One of the interesting things that I observe, and I'll be interested in hearing your thoughts on this, is that it seems like a lot of people train and they think that that's going to happen. They think that they're going to shift into a more parasympathetic dominant recovery state after training and that it's going to be good for their health. But in reality, that doesn't always happen. So sometimes, you know, there's a lot of people in your community who are endurance athletes who probably, well, hopefully, you know, not the ones in your community, but I'm sure we've seen people out there, you know, running, pounding the pavement, and you can see them panting through their mouths. They're slumped over because they don't have the energy to hold themselves up. They're literally, you know, just between their breathing and their body position, they're reinforcing a stressed out fight or flight sympathetic dominant state. And so they're actually there's a great principle in neurology called the SED principle, specific adaptation to imposed demand. So we're always adapting to what we're doing and how we are in the world. And so for some of those people in those situations, they're actually adapting at and getting better at being in that stressed out fight or flight state. And so they won't see a boost in heart rate variability after they train. And a lot of times in training, people accumulate deficits and micro traumas to the body and inflammation. And a lot of times either they've gotten themselves stuck in that sympathetic state, or they haven't gotten enough actual input for the brain to fully understand that, yes, it is time to shift into recovery mode, to increase heart rate variability, to have all the hormonal and enzymatic releases that you want. So it's a very safe and effective way to get that type of stimulus that will absolutely cause the body to shift into that parasympathetic dominant mode where it can recover, where it promotes good health, where you have better digestion and waste elimination and better control of heart rate and blood pressure and better sexual and reproductive function, all of those things. We'll see shifts there as evidenced by greater HRV.
Yeah, I think the trick here, though, if you really want to hack this and you want to test what's suppressing and what's increasing HRV during your actual training, is you have to get real-time feedback. So for that, you have to wear like a Bluetooth-enabled heart rate strap, for example. I have one called a Viva, V-I-I-I-V-A, and then you pair that with an app that collects your HRV in real time. Like there's one called NatureBeat that will tell you your parasympathetic load and your sympathetic load, and then you can just go to your normal workout and see what's occurring to your HRV in real time. And in an ideal scenario, you would want suppressed HRV during your most intensive activities, and then you wouldn't return to an activity that intense until your resting HRV, like say the next morning when you wake up or the morning after, has increased to a high level, or you know, let's say you're using something like an Oura ring, your readiness score has increased again. And if you do that, it's a very beautiful kind of press pull cycling scenario where you're going very, very low HRV during certain training sessions of the week and then allowing your HRV to compensate or even super compensate. I mean, that's, it's just basically periodizing based on your nervous system.
It's amazing the things we can do with technology these days. And I think what you said there is the key, that you're periodizing or auto-regulating or regulating the training based on the nervous system, because the nervous system is so key, is paramount for everything that we're trying to do. So I think that is a very meaningful measure. And so, I mean, I love the strategy you just laid out.
Yeah. Now, speaking of technology, what I really want to delve into, because this is what I found very intriguing, was this whole scanning procedure where, yeah, you could hook up electrodes to certain muscles, send that DC current in, and train. And I actually want you to, in a little bit here, walk me through a sample workout and what that would look like. But before, and I think this is something very unique about the device, is you taught me how to scan, like if my elbow hurt or my knee hurt, how to actually scan my body to figure out what muscles weren't firing properly and where I needed to place the electrodes for the actual training or rehab session. Can you walk me through how that works with like the black electrode and the red electrode and scanning the body with these different electrodes?
Yes, absolutely. I think this is a great part of the process and definitely worth talking about. And really, I think one of the biggest shifts or the pieces of forward progress in the realm of neuromuscular reeducation, because it helps us figure out exactly where the underlying dysfunctions are. And in order to understand how it works, I want to go back to the point that I talked about how our technology is preferentially sending more of the sensory and afferent signals. So if you have, you know, instead of the sticky electrode, if you take a wet sponge, for example, or a wand or something like that, and you scan around on the body, you're going to be sending the same types of sensory signals as if those areas are moving. So if it's on your bicep, you know, your brain might think your arm is curling. If it's on your shoulder, your brain might think your arm is lifting, something like that. And we should, if we're healthy, if our movement and neuromuscular systems are optimized, if things are working well, we should be able to process all neurological signals that correlate to all sorts of joint angles and ranges of motion and speeds of movement. And so as we scan around on the body, wherever things are working well, it's going to feel pretty darn easy. It's going to feel pleasant. You know, it'll be easy to handle that signal. The body will process it no problem. The cool thing happens when there is dysfunction present, And, you know, if we try to load a particular muscle, if we're scanning around on the leg of someone who has a knee injury, for example, and they're trying to inhibit or not use certain parts of the quad muscle because they don't want to move the knee too quickly or powerfully while it's compromised. If we scan around and we stimulate that area, all of a sudden we're stimulating an area and telling the body it's working when the body's saying, no, don't work. And there's a tension or conflict. And so there's this phenomenon where the body fights against it. It feels more intense. So we would call it like a hot spot or an electronic trigger point. And when we find these spots, that helps us see where the underlying dysfunctions are. And then we know exactly where we need to work. So it's instead of just, you know, putting the pads wherever it hurts, like you would do with traditional e-stim, we're actually starting with an assessment process. And this is part of the new fit system beyond just the device, is, you know, the methods and different ways that we're applying it. This process allows us to find exactly where some of those underlying dysfunctions are. So it could be something like excessive tension where the body's trying to protect and not move and stiffen, or it could be areas where the body's trying to take the load off and not use certain muscles. And so it allows us to pick up a range of different aberrations or compensation patterns or different issues in the movement and neuromuscular systems.
Yeah. So once you've actually identified these different areas where the deficiencies are, what would the actual rehab program look like? Like if I find, for example, when I scan and I have a hurt knee, but I'm scanning with that red electrode and I'm noting that maybe there's a lot of tension and almost a little bit of pain when I get the scanner up around, say, like my upper, and I think this was the case for me last year when I was having pain on the right side of my knee, it was my left upper adductor that was actually the affected muscle. So in a situation like that, what would the rehab program look like? Do you place the electrodes into a training session on the upper adductor or the area where the pain was, or how do you follow up once you've identified the area that's not working properly?
So that's exactly what we want to do. Whatever spots we find, those are the dysfunctional areas, and we want to address the dysfunction. So we're not necessarily as concerned with the symptom as we are with the underlying dysfunction. So whatever hot spots, whatever areas we find, we put the pads on there and we stimulate those areas. And another difference is that, you know, traditional e-stim treatments are usually passive. You're usually lying down on the table. Ours are very active. So we'd actually have you going through movements. So if your knee hurt and it hurt during running or bicycling, we could have you do those movements, or we could simulate them with lunges or step ups or different movements. And there's a couple of cool things that happen during that process. One is because we're stimulating these dysfunctional areas, we're teaching you to start reincorporating them into that movement pattern and training a more efficient, healthier movement pattern. Another thing that happens is as you move, you're creating other feedback to your brain, and whereas, you know, initially we turn it up in those areas or jump out and feel more intense, you have this reaction against the current. As you move through it, your brain starts to understand that it's okay, and so it'll reduce that protective or that threat response and actually start to change the patterns of activation. And so one of the coolest things that happens is that as you adapt to it, you can then go up higher on the current. Just like if you get more proficient in the weight room, you put more weight on the bar. Here, we want to increase the level of challenge, and so we'll go up higher on the current. And we can see people are usually able to adapt a few times within the session, get up to higher levels. Eventually, you reach a plateau, but each time that happens, we're increasing the proficiency or the threshold of the nervous system. We're increasing the level of challenge it can handle before breaking down and resorting to those compensation patterns.
Okay, got it. So the actual workout itself, I would love for you to walk people through what the workout would be like if someone wanted to do this as a training session. Because you sent me a couple of really good full body workouts that do upper body, lower body, and core. Sometimes I'll split them up if I'm short on time and do just an upper body session. Or like this morning, I had all the electrodes hooked up and I was basically doing a split squat and like a tabletop bridge with 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. And I kind of started each exercise at a frequency or a power of about 70 and gradually worked my way up to 100, which was teeth grittingly hard by the time you get to 100. My wife always laughs because I'm like grunting and groaning as I go through this thing, even though it doesn't really look like I'm doing anything. You know, it's incredibly difficult. So walk me through the actual workouts on these things and how those work.
Absolutely. Thank you for that description too. It's funny that it doesn't look like much to the outside observer, but once you've experienced it, you really get it. So in terms of the workouts, just to establish the context, the value proposition or the part that makes it interesting is that by using the machine, we're able to help people get a lot more recruitment with less external load and therefore less risk on the joints. So that's a big part of it, and you know why it feels so intense, even if you're just doing body weight or very low resistance exercises. And also, a lot of times people appreciate that it allows them to train without pain, or it makes exercise safer, because when they're using this approach to help activate the appropriate muscles, those muscles are turning on and keeping them safe and stable and protected through a whole range of motion. And for people who would have to stop exercise because of pain or because old injuries constantly would come creep up and get in the way of consistent progress, you know, this has been a good bridge back into training for some of those people. And then for people who are healthy, you know, being able to recruit more, being able to optimize function of certain areas, being able to get more bang for the buck, you know, there's a lot of benefits there. So in terms of a workout, it's the overall feel of it is going to be, you know, the pads are going to be on the body, sending electrical impulses, you know, at certain frequencies and power levels, and we're going to be doing various movements. So in the beginning, particularly for rehab, if we're trying to bridge back into fitness, a lot of those are very simple body weight movements, you know, air squats, lunges, push-ups, pull-ups, band, sometimes even open chain, unloaded joint mobilizations, simple joint movements, sometimes band work, and then we can progress to, you know, kettlebells, sandbags, functional fitness. We can progress to lifting heavier weights, although with the machine, you don't necessarily have to lift that heavy. But you can do, I think a good way to think about it, and the way I've described it to people, is that, you know, because we're talking about neuromuscular reeducation, getting the muscles to work more and to work better, you know, any type of activity that you want to do in training, this can help amplify, accelerate the progress, and get more bang for the buck.
Okay. So when you're doing these workouts, like as you mentioned, this is one of the EMS units that actually results in an eccentric muscle tissue contraction. You know, for a long time, I thought I was just using all these extra muscles, which I suppose could be part of the reason that I'm just so sore, like can't walk up this, like today. We're literally talking, like I mentioned, you know, it's now what, like maybe an hour and a half after I finished that workout. I can feel walking upstairs, the feeling I'd get if I'd done a squat workout, you know, when DOM sets in, you know, your delayed onset muscle soreness, like 24, 48 hours later, like I feel it almost right away with this thing. And so there's obviously not just increased muscle recruitment with muscles that you might not have used in a long time going on with this thing, just because it's grabbing the muscles your brain might have forgotten to grab, or that you are not moving properly to recruit. But there's also some kind of eccentric muscle tissue damage occurring, you know, a little bit of muscle fiber tearing, et cetera. Now, because of that soreness, do you guys have recommendations on frequency of use? Like if I'm sore, because this thing's almost like doing the work for me, can I hit the same muscle groups when the muscle is still sore? Should you wait until the soreness has subsided, or should I not be jacking up the intensity so high I'm even getting sore?
So that's a great question. I mean, ultimately, we have to acknowledge that it is a very powerful tool, and it, you know, can make you sore. And you know, anything with great power comes great responsibility. So we're focused a lot on, you know, training professionals on how to use this in their rehabilitation and fitness businesses. And so most of the time, people are using this, it's within a setting where there's a professional administering the machine, and you know, it is important to follow their guidelines and do all that, because it is very, very powerful. And in terms of, you know, how often you use it and getting sore and different things like that, you know, a lot of people appreciate, particularly some of the professional bodybuilders we've worked with, they appreciate how they do the muscles they've worked do feel sore sometimes in just a couple sets compared to, you know, the 60 to 90 minute workouts they'd have to do for a body part in the gym traditionally, how much they can get that same type of effect in a very compressed period of time. But you don't necessarily have to be sore either to create hypertrophy, to build strength. And so, you know, I'm not implying that if you come to a NewFit workout, you absolutely have to feel sore for that many days. You know, some people like it, and we can certainly deliver it, but it's not necessary. In terms of how often to use it, you know, the same paradigm that you suggested a little bit earlier is the way to do it. You want to ideally stimulate yourself into some sort of depressed state, and then when you're recovered, then you do it again. And so sometimes it can be broken up by body areas in a split routine, and you can hit one area of the body hard one day, different area the next day while the other is recovering. If you're doing a more kind of functional whole body training, then you're going to want to do different things, train different traits or qualities so that one can recover while you're training others. And you can, so, you know, it depends on the goals. Most of the people who come to see us do two sessions a week. If there's elite athletes, professional athletes that have a particular goal, you know, if they need to get back from an injury very quickly, or if they're really trying to achieve something urgent, you know, sometimes they'll do multiple sessions per day. So you can do something at that extreme. But, you know, for most people, two sessions a week on this is certainly adequate and usually a good sweet spot.
Yeah, that seems like about the most I'd be able to handle for any specific muscle group. Well, the cool thing is, too, that, you know, you can target certain muscle groups. Like, for example, for people who are still trying to wrap their heads around how this works, like I could attach, like I mentioned, the electrodes to my glutes, my hammies, my VMO, and my quads. But then once I finish those off, then I can move on to, you know, attaching them to chest, rhomboids, lats, and serratus, and do like a push-up, pull-up workout. And then I can move on from there and attach them to like external obliques, internal obliques, rectus abdominis, and erector spinae, for example. And your unit comes with all the anatomical locations for electrode placements and where to put them for certain workouts. So it makes this all pretty easy. You don't need to be an anatomist. But when I hooked them up to all those core muscles, then I could do, for example, a bridging planking type of workout. And the entire time, this electrical muscle stimulation device is recruiting all my muscles for me. I just have to kind of grit my teeth and push through the range of motion.
Absolutely. So there's a wide range. You know, we'll see in our facility, for example, we'll see, you know, elite athletes like yourself doing workouts like that, along with, you know, children who have neurological challenges and elderly people, and the, you know, they'll all have the machine on. One might be just doing very gentle movements. One might be planking. One might be jumping. And there's a wide range of applications.
Now, could this be used for like neurological conditions, right? In many cases, nerves are firing in a manner that is not properly recruiting muscles. And, you know, I know there are issues like MS where that might occur. I know people with traumatic brain injury have difficulty with muscle recruitment. You know, there are other neurological conditions that you might know of. But how would this be used in a case of training more of the nervous system, or rehabbing the nervous system, or addressing an issue like a concussion or TBI, or is it something that shouldn't be used in that case?
So that's a great question. And it speaks to some of the most inspirational and really exciting uses of this approach that we've seen recently. So, you know, we've worked with several people, for example, who have MS, and I have to say that the device itself that we use, the Nubi, is not indicated for the treatment of MS, but within the NewFit system, we have strategies that have been able to help some people who have MS. So we started working, for example, with Dr. Terry Walls, who, have you ever had her on your show?
Way back in the day, I interviewed Dr. Terry Walls, and for those of you listening in, she's the author of the Walls Protocol, and the gal who basically healed herself of MS using a specific dietary approach, like an autoimmune dietary approach.
Yeah. And so she, I mean, I think she's a brilliant doctor, very inspiring story, and she's now helped hundreds or thousands of people improve their health when dealing with MS, following her strategies, her protocols, and she does fabulous work to help stop the progression of the autoimmune disease, the underlying MS. And one of the things that she was kind of looking for in her program was an effective way to use electrical stimulation and start to build back up. So it's absolutely necessary and wonderful work to stop the progression of the disease. And then once you've done that, how can you start to rebuild and regain function? And so through some of the work with her, you know, people have seen it. She has a lot of people follow very closely what she's doing and saw her using our device. And so we've had now several patients with MS. You know, one, for example, I'm thinking about a woman who came down from Wisconsin, came down to see us in Austin and spent a week with us. And she was wheelchair bound, had been for a few years. And we talked about, you know, what would you like to be able to do? And she, you know, she said, well, ultimately, I'd like to be able to dance and stand in the kitchen and cook and I mean, all that. But for now, I mean, if I could even take a few steps holding my husband's hand instead of a walker or instead of being in my wheelchair, I mean, that would be amazing. And so we started working together. The first at the end of the first day, or at the start of the second day, after having worked together the first day, she came in and she said, look what I can do. So if she's sitting in her wheelchair, she could lift her right leg, but she could not the first day lift her left leg. Now she comes in and says, you know, look what I can do. Her left leg is able to lift. She can extend her knee. So that was exciting. At the end of the second session on the third day, her husband and I were going to help her put on her shoes and socks. And she said, wait a second, let me give it a shot. And so she actually bent down and for the first time in several years, she put on her own shoes and socks because now she had enough muscle activation and control in her trunk and hips that she could bend forward and support herself through that greater range of motion. And so, you know, it was even just those little steps were really cool. And then at the end of her last session on Friday before leaving town, she actually, I mean, it was bring tears to our eyes, kind of beautiful moment. She took some steps holding her husband's hand, and it was just, you know, it was incredible. And so, so she's been continuing to do some work, you know, because she had came to see us in person and we established protocols and went through the whole assessment process. We were able to get them a machine to continue using at home and walk them through the protocols remotely and continue to support them. So she's continuing to make progress. Most of the time though, you know, it's something that's done in an office, again, not usually done in home. But that is something that we've been able to work out with for her because, you know, she made such good progress. We wanted to continue, obviously. And that seemed like the only way to do that.
Yeah. What about like TBI concussion type of issues?
So we've seen some really impressive results there, really inspirational results. We've been working with, you know, one woman in particular comes to mind who I think by the time this airs, we'll have a little kind of miniature video about her, some of her experience that I can share with you. So a woman who had a traumatic brain injury from falling off a ladder 7 years before we started working together and, you know, had difficulty with balance, activities of daily living, and, you know, was just making slow incremental progress for 7 years. In the first few months that we started working together, the progress that was only going at a slow rate really, really accelerated. The trajectory that she was on changed. And she noticed, for example, there was a test that she did that where there was a score for her ability to do activities of daily living, like transferring, you know, from a chair to a bed, being able to manipulate things with the hands, standing on one's own and balancing. And the score, you know, had been between the 20s and 30s for 7 years. And all of a sudden it went up into the 60s in 2 months. And her neurologist was, you know, was blown away. And so there's still work to do, but because we're influencing the nervous system in this way, because we're providing the inputs and giving the nervous system an ability to adapt and make whatever neuroplastic changes it can, you know, there's obviously some finite capacity to do that. Whatever that is, we want to tap into it. And so, you know, in this case, thankfully, we've seen that we were able to, by doing that process, help her make some profound changes. And it's really inspiring because it gives people hope. And many times it's people for whom the traditional model does not have a very good answer.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to people actually using this, I mean, you know, I'm pretty savvy. You sent me some videos. You showed me how to use it. You'd put it on me before at PaleoFX, so I'd kind of seen it in action, overseen by you. But do you have people actually buying these, using them themselves, and educational videos? Is this kind of one of those things where your primary client is like, you know, the physical therapist, for example?
So it's definitely the case where a majority of our clients, or the majority of people using the machine, are in a professional setting: physical therapists, chiropractors, sometimes in a fitness facility, as long as they have medical oversight, because it is an FDA cleared medical device. But there are people who, you know, like yourself, use it in home because they like the efficiency, or there's not a practitioner nearby, or they're a professional athlete and they are on the road all the time and they needed to recover at 11:30 p.m. after they play their game, and you know there's no one's open at that time. So there's cases where, you know, there's a compelling enough value proposition that individuals will get them. And in that case, we just want to make sure that they work with someone in person so that, you know, they can get the medical clearance to use it, obviously, and then also to be able to get an assessment done so that we can build protocols for that person to maximize the value of the machine. Because it's not just, you know, everyone follows this recipe. It's we want to do the assessment, we want to figure out what this person needs, what their nervous system needs, and be able to you know, give them the most valuable protocols and the best chance at good outcomes.
Is it covered by insurance? Like if somebody were to hunt down a physical therapist who has one of these, and please comment on that too, like if there's a directory or something where people can find someone who has one of these in their community, how can they do that, and is it covered by insurance?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best place right now to do that would be on our website, which is www.new.fit. So it's new, like neurological, NEU.fit. No.com or anything, just new.fit. And then there's a locations tab at the top right. So you can click on locations, and there's, you know, as of this recording, probably a little bit over 50 offices around the country that have it. Many of them are physical therapy clinics and can bill some insurance, or at least have it count against the deductible. However, because it is a new process, there's not really insurance codes that cover it. You know, it's kind of an in-between where there's a lot of places where it is offered as a cash service. And so it will depend on where it's being offered.
Yeah. Now I have one, like I mentioned, and you know, if people did want to get one for themselves and just have it in their own home and, you know, be a hack like me and use YouTube, et cetera, to learn how to use it, or I would imagine that you probably would get on the phone or do a Skype with people or something like that, because it's like a spendy device. You know, this isn't like something you just grab off of Amazon. Are people actually allowed to own it, like if it's an FDA medical device?
Yeah, as long as we get the medical clearance. So, you know, we'd have to have their doctor sign a script or something like that. So with that caveat in place, yes, it's possible. We do have one person on our team right now, and you know, maybe end up having even more, but one who's dedicated to providing support for people who have devices in home. And so, you know, he does a lot of FaceTime or Skype video calls with people and updating protocols and helping them, you know, get the most out of it.
Yeah. Is that Chaz?
No, that's Austin.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Yeah, you guys have a pretty good support team down there, because anytime I've injured anything, I just basically let you know what it is, and you show me how to just suck it away with this thing. So it's pretty cool. The price point, I know for the average person coming in, is a little bit spendy. Remind me what the cost is on it.
So the whole package, you know, if there's most of our customers, private practice physical therapy clinics, they're buying the machine. So for a whole package that includes training for them and people in their office and access to all of our materials and, you know, all of that whole package is usually in the range of $18,000. And that it is, obviously it's intended more for a clinical model where people can use it and generate revenue from it. For the people who are buying it individually, what we've done is included different options, you know, for financing to make it more accessible, and then also include consultation time, either in person or remotely, ideally both, where we do the assessments, give them protocols, provide ongoing support, and all of that built in to build up the value proposition, help people be able to ensure and feel confident that they're going to get the most out of the machine.
Yeah, and I know that you guys are offering anybody who listens into this podcast, if you are even a physical therapist or a physician, or if you're just somebody off the streets who has a script to be able to get one, $1,000 off. If you just have to go to new.fit, like neu.fit/Ben, and I'll put that in the show notes too over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/neural, along with the videos of me using this thing. If you just want to see what it looks like and you're trying to wrap your head around it, you know, it's a device that's about the size. Let's see, what would you say, Garrett? It's like about the size of maybe like a kind of like a big briefcase almost with something like that.
If anyone remembers what a VCR is these days, yeah. You know, something like that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like a big VCR for all of our old school listeners. And then you just plug the electrodes in and you select training, you select recovery. There's a bunch of different settings on it. If you use a little dial to set up the power. I found it pretty intuitive to use. Obviously, it's something that you want to know what you're doing when you start it, because it really does pack a punch when it comes to recruiting a lot of muscles. But I really dig this thing. I mean, especially for injuries, probably that and the pulsed electromagnetic field therapy I have are the two top things I use when it comes to injuries, which with my active lifestyle, I seem to experience a lot. So Garrett, thanks for coming on the call and sharing all this stuff with us, man. This is a fascinating device. And when it comes to electrical muscle stimulation, I really think it's the creme de la creme. If you really want the, you know, enough power to be able to like operate as a professional athlete or rehab with a lot more efficacy than you'd find in most EMS devices.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on here and talk about it with you. And I'm hope it, you know, stimulates some thought in the people who are listening to this. And we're certainly happy to talk further. You know, please check out that link, new.fit/Ben, and you know, reach out to us through there or on social media. And my team and I would love to interact with you and talk more about how this type of approach might be able to impact your life or your business or both.
Awesome. All right. So show notes at bengreenfieldfitness.neural. You can get $1,000 off this thing if you go to neu.fit/Ben. And I'm Ben Greenfield along with Garrett Salpeter signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com. Have an amazing week.
Well, thanks for listening to today's show. You can grab all the show notes, the resources, pretty much everything that I mentioned over at bengreenfieldfitness.com, along with plenty of other goodies from me, including the highly helpful Ben Recommends page, which is a list of pretty much everything that I've ever recommended for hormones, sleep, digestion, fat loss, performance, and plenty more. Please also know that all the links, all the promo codes that I mentioned during this and every episode help to make this podcast happen and to generate income that enables me to keep bringing you this content every single week. So when you listen in, be sure to use the links in the show notes, use the promo codes that I generate, because that helps to float this thing and keep it coming to you each and every week.